Praise the Lord. Pastor David Coleman here. I want to give you an invitation to come and be with us May 6th and 7th. We're going to have Tommy Bates from Independence, Kentucky. You do not want to miss these services. God is going to pour out His Spirit in a powerful and a marvelous way. We're looking for the Lord to show up, bringing healing to the sick, deliverance to the captives, baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. There is no telling what the Spirit of the Lord is going to do. May 6th and 7th at 7 p.m. Harvest Worship Center, Patrick Springs, Virginia, or Stuart, Virginia, either one. Both of them will show up on your GPS. We just want you to know there's a seat here for you, but you better get here early because this place is going to pack out. We're going to have a great time as we worship the Lord together and as the preaching of the Word goes forth. So come on and out, May 6th and 7th, 7 p.m., Tommy Bates, Independence, Kentucky. Do not miss these services. That's, again, Harvest Worship Center, 21225 Jeb Stuart Highway, Stuart, Virginia. Come on and be with us. Our phone number is 276-694-4639. Come on out and be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's just give the Lord a good praise offering right now, can we? Praise is rising, eyes are turning to You. We turn to You. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for You. We long for You. When we see You, we find strength to face the day. In Your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have Your way among us. Welcome You here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts return. Turn to You. In Your kingdom, broken lives are renewed. You make us new. 'Cause when we see You, we find strength to face the day. In Your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, have Your way among us. We welcome You here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Come on. Hosanna, come on. Say we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. Oh, in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come on. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Have your way among us. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come on, give him a welcome tonight. Somebody say, welcome, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Somebody say, God is good all the time. All the time he is good. Yes. I see the Lord and his train fills the temple. I see the Lord, he is high and lifted up. I see the Lord and his train fills the temple. I see the Lord and he is high and lifted up. Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. The angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. I see the Lord and his eyes a flaming like fire. I see the Lord and his hair is white as snow. Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. Can you hear them crying, holy? Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. Come on and cry it holy tonight. The angels cry, oh, holy, holy is the Lord. Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. The angel came and he touched the coal to my lips, And now my guilt is gone, and my sin has been forgiven. And I cry, holy, come on. And I cry, I, holy, holy is the Lord. Come on. And I cry, holy, holy is the Lord. We cry, holy is the Lord. And I cry, holy, holy is the Lord. Come on. And I cry, I cry, holy, holy is the Lord. And the temple is filled with His glory. The temple is filled with the glory of God. The whole earth is filled with His glory. And the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. The temple is filled. And the temple is filled with the glory of God. And the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. And He calls to me, who shall I sin? And I answer Him, Lord, I will go for You. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to Him right now. Come on, shut everything out except for the presence of the Lord. Think about how good Jesus is. It's all about Him. Somebody say, He's worthy, worthy, worthy. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. Holy, holy, holy God. Holy, holy, holy God. Holy, holy, holy God. Holy, holy, holy God. You're creating, commanding, transcendent Adonai, defending love, destroying sin, the warrior divine. Holy, holy, holy God. Holy, holy, holy God. Sing it out. Holy, holy, holy God, you are. Holy, holy, holy God, you're forgiving, redeeming from every tribe and tongue, arising first, the nail-scarred lamb, salvation's champion. Holy, holy, holy God. Holy, holy, holy God, you are. Holy, holy, holy God, you are. Holy, holy, pursuing, you're reclaiming to restore, you're releasing hearts, you're transforming lives, the lion's mighty roar. Holy, holy, holy God, come on. Holy, holy, holy God. Holy, holy, holy God. Holy, holy, holy God, you're creating, commanding, you're transcending Adonai, you're dispensing love, you're destroying sin. Come on, let's give him a praise offering. Come on.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can be seated.
Let's just go ahead and come.
Praise the Lord. Pastor David Coleman here. I want to give you an invitation to come and be with us May 6th and 7th. We're going to have Tommy Bates from Independence, Kentucky. You do not want to miss these services. God is going to pour out His Spirit in a powerful and a marvelous way. We're looking for the Lord to show up, bringing healing to the sick, deliverance to the captives, baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. There is no telling what the Spirit of the Lord is going to do. May 6th and 7th at 7 p.m. Harvest Worship Center, Patrick Springs, Virginia, or Stuart, Virginia, either one. Both of them will show up on your GPS. We just want you to know there's a seat here for you, but you better get here early because this place is going to pack out. We're going to have a great time as we worship the Lord together and as the preaching of the Word goes forth. So come on and out, May 6th and 7th, 7 p.m., Tommy Bates, Independence, Kentucky. Do not miss these services. That's again, Harvest Worship Center, 21225 Jeb Stuart Highway, Stuart, Virginia. Come on and be with us. Our phone number is 276-694-4639. Come on out and be blessed in Jesus' name.
Remind you again, Tommy Bates will be here in just a few weeks. Somebody say praise the Lord. And be in prayer for that service. Invite people to come. Let's believe the Lord for great things. And I know that He's going to move in a very, very powerful way. Praise God. And how many feel good tonight? Amen. Don't lie to yourself. All right. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And the Bible says, and I'm going to be reading from the a different translation. I can't even remember the name of this translation. Let me look here. The Passion. Now, please listen, for I need to address an issue. I'm making this personal appeal to you by the gentleness and self-forgetfulness of Christ. I am the one who is humble and timid when face to face with you, but bold and outspoken when a safe distance away. Now I plead with you that when I come, don't force me to take a hard line with you, which I'm willing to do by daring to confront those who mistakenly believe that we are living by the standards of the world, not by the Spirit's wisdom and power. For although we live in the natural realm, we do not wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our warfare weapons are energized with divine power and effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in the defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. Let us pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. And we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus to come and touch our hearts and our minds. And we give you thanks for all you do tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind every work of the enemy, take authority over that. Thank you for the release of your presence and power in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated tonight. We'll talk about obstacles that keep you grounded, things that can keep you grounded. Now, if you're born again tonight, and I hope you are, you're a winner. Everybody say, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. 1 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Philippians 4:13. Can anybody tell me what that says? I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Romans 8:32. For we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. Amen. See, those basic things, just knowing some basic things about what God thinks about you, what God says over you, will help you when it comes to breaking through and catapulting through anything that the enemy would bring against your life and standing. Amen. One of the things that I believe that the enemy is doing in this hour is never before. Every pastor I talk to, just about, if I flip on TV, they talk about the same thing all the time. How many see that over and over again? And, you know, it's even in the world in which we live. It's in our nation. And even though they term it with different things, you know, but it's a divisive work of the enemy. Everybody say divisive. I think Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you all speak the same thing. Everybody say that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And the Lord the other day when I was in prayer began to speak to me about this verse. And he brought to my mind, you know, Satan, one of the words Satan, it's called Satan in the Bible. That means that he is second unto the prince of the devils. And the word Satan means adversary. And so Jesus is out in the wilderness. The Bible says that he rebuked Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're my adversary. But one of the other words that Jesus uses there is devil. That word devil is diablos in the Greek. And when that word is used, this is what it means. One who divides without a cause. One who would cast himself or something between two in order to divide. Now, Strong's Concordance gives a little bit different version for that. Spyros Zodiates, who's a Greek man and a Greek scholar, gives that definition in the Hebrew-Greek Study Bible. And I think it's really good to clarify that. And, you know, that what that word means. Anything that the devil can do to divide you from God, he will do it. If you are the Son of God, I'm trying to divide you from your purpose and your identity with Jesus. If you are the Son of God, if you are who you said you are, can I just say this to you today? Satan may not come to you like he did Jesus in the wilderness, maybe in person, but he comes to you in a subtle manner and he's saying something like, if you are a Christian, produce this fruit. Do this or jump through this hoop or whatever. Because what he wants to do is to divide you from your identity. Somebody say, the devil is out to divide me from my purpose and from my calling in life. And so the first thing that you're called to be is a Christian. Everybody say, a Christian. A Christian. Someone who follows Christ, who chases after the heart of God, who wants to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no such thing. Look at the person beside you. Look them in the eyes and say, the devil can't make you do anything. If you do it, you chose to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was going to come out here and speak about something else, and the Lord told me to do this. The devil cannot make you do anything. You do it because you choose it. If you're depressed tonight, listen to what I'm going to tell you. You're choosing to sit there. God never tells you to sit down in depression and receive it. Tonight, if you are walking through oppression, it is because you are allowing the enemy to divide you from joy and peace. Amen. To divide you from what God has called you to be. Our adversary is a very subtle individual. Remember that. Number one, you think for a minute now, because number one, you are a tripart being. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Your spirit is recreated in the image of Almighty God. Your spirit man is where God lives. Everybody say, God lives in me. Your soul is your emotions, hearing, smell, taste, touch, and so forth in your life. And so where Satan primarily attacks you is not really in your spirit, but in your soul man, in your mind. Everybody say, my mind, where my emotions are at. Because, you know, it's like when he comes and you can tell when he's poured ice water on somebody. You can tell when he's invaded their airspace and when he is oppressing them and tearing apart at them and working in their lives. You know, it's like Cain and Abel. You remember when God came to him, he says, you know, he says, hey, Cain, how come you're so down right now? Well, God knew what had happened for him. He knew what he had done. Amen. Why is your countenance falling? If you do well, it's pleasing to God. If you don't, sin's lying at the door. Couching at the door. And it's the same thing with us. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. The soul part of you is where Satan attacks you at. He comes against your soul. And I can tell you right now, you'll never outwit him. You'll never outthink him. You'll never outpower him. You'll never outman him. The only way that you can defeat your adversary is to get in Christ. In Jesus you live. In Jesus you move. In Jesus you have your being. You better make up your mind that you're going to stand and you're going to do what's right. You're going to think right. I'm going to order my mind right. That's the reason we read from 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Because our weapons are supernatural weapons. They're mighty through God to the pulling down and the ripping apart of those things that the enemy brings against our soul. Amen? Because we're going to get into some things in a few minutes that are going to be some eye-openers. Everybody say eye-openers. Eye-openers. Amen. So he works against our soul, against our soul. You know, he comes against our physical body. Somebody say, my physical body. My physical body. Number one, I want to know. I want to know. It's like, you know, Deborah and I do when we take communion and we pray and we confess healing scriptures and we stand on the word of God. It's not necessarily the confessing of something over and over and over again. That does not heal you. It only reminds your spirit man that it is in control and not your soul and not your body. And what it does is it lets you know that Jesus is your source, that you draw everything from him. He is your life. He is your peace. He is your strength. He is your might. He's everything that you need. So when you need something from him, and you know, when we get under the gun of the enemy and we come under fire, what we want to do is to begin to draw on everything that Jesus has provided for us through his atoning sacrifice. No matter when, because he has it all. Somebody say he has it all. Everything that we need. Everything that we need. So the only reason that I confess the word is to remind myself. Somebody say, remind myself. I'm feeding myself the word so that my soul will not outgrow my spirit man. Amen. It is deadly to sit around and listen to the devil. Somebody say, well, I'm, you know, as we say so many times, never say anything that you do not want your enemy to hear. That means don't say it to somebody else. Don't say it out loud to yourself when you're alone riding down the road. Amen. Don't ever say anything you do not want your adversary to hear because he will use it against you. Amen. Say what God said. That's what Jesus did. He didn't sit down and carry on a conversation with the devil. He took authority over him. Somebody say he took authority. He took authority over the adversary. So it's important, number one, I realize I am a tripart being. My soul can be at peace. My soul can be happy. My soul can be full of joy. My soul can be focused. My soul can have plenty, all kinds of victory and all the victory and triumph that I need because it's already given me in Jesus. Somebody say, already in Jesus. But my soul, everybody say, my soul. David said, why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? My soul wants to go in all the opposite directions. Amen. It does not want to do what God wants me to do. Amen. The word body simply means what? Slave. My body does what I tell it to do. It acts like I tell it to act. It goes where I tell it to go. Amen. I can tell you right now that my body's not going to run out here tonight and go to the store. It's not going to run to the restaurant. It's going to stay right here behind the pulpit. I'm not going to let my body do anything because I'm in charge. Somebody say, I'm in charge. Say, I am a spirit. I am a spirit. Say it again. Say, I am a spirit. Say it again. Say, I am a spirit. I am a reborn spirit because my old spirit, that old nature that I used to have, come on now, because I'm born again. I'm made new in the likeness and image of God. All things are made new. Amen? That's what Jesus died for, to make it new. And so often we go back and we want to hang out with the old nature because, listen, it's always present there. It's in the grave. It was buried. But I don't have to take a daggone shovel and go dig it back up. How many have been around solical people and know by now it stinketh? Amen. Solical people stink. They do. Because number one, it's like the old saying, preachers love this too. It says, I don't mind feeding babies, but I hate to feed babies that have a mustache. Amen. It's a big difference. Somebody say it's a big difference. And see, we have a choice to walk in maturity because, listen, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please him. You're not here to please me. You're here to please him. Praise God. And so if I'm going to please Jesus, let's get with it. Praise God. Let's just do it. I didn't come to see you. You didn't come to see me. We came to see Jesus. Somebody said we came to see Jesus. Amen. So number one, I'm a new creation. I can do all things through Christ. I am more than a conqueror. Jesus tells me in Revelation, he that overcometh, I want to be that overcomer. Somebody say amen. Amen. So my success is in yielding to that and walking in that freedom that he has given me. Praise God. Now, there are things that cause us to falter and sometimes fail in the purpose. Falter and fail in the purpose. Everybody say, number one, an unteachable spirit. What is an unteachable spirit? Say a spirit that won't be taught. You can't teach it anything because it already knows everything. Amen. An unteachable spirit is an unwillingness to change. An unwillingness to listen to instruction. An unwillingness to receive information and to stay abreast of the fact that the Scripture has given to me. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And then in Isaiah 5:3, my people go into captivity for a lack of knowledge. And so God is telling us, he says, when you are not willing to be taught, and let me say this, when he refers to a person of an unteachable spirit, this is what it is. A person that is unteachable is a person that knows the truth, has known the truth, but has turned around and gone back from it. I'm going to say that one more time. It's a person who knows the truth, has been in the truth, but has turned around and gone back from it. Amen. What does it take to get back in the truth? Repent, turn around, and move with God. Amen? An unteachable spirit, an unteachable spirit, an unteachable spirit. Just think about this. Unteachable means that I know what the truth is. I know what God's instructions are to me. I know what the Word says. I'm just not doing it right now. Let's let that sink in. See, I feel that. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. That's why I'm going to hang out right there. Because I'm going to make you just feel just as uncomfortable as I can. An unteachable spirit. You know why? Because when you do, you stinker. When you're not supposed to do and you fall into something you're not supposed to fall into, you're supposed to be miserable. Because it's unteachable. Amen. How many of us that have children, we know this very, very well. We smack them on their backside. You know good well what I told you not to do that. Amen. Every whipping that I got, I had been instructed long before and taught not to do it, but I went and did it anyway. It may have been a year later, might have been months later, but I went and did what Daddy said not to do, and guess what? Daddy did not let me get by with it. Daddy called me on the carpet. Amen. Because Daddy realized, he said, this has got to be corrected right here, because if I don't correct it, if you do this, you'll do something worse, and then on top of that, when you get by with that, you'll do something worse than that. Amen. So I want to have a teachable spirit. Look at somebody and say, are you teachable? A teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. See, an unteachable spirit is somebody that knows the truth, walked in the truth, but they refuse to do what the Scripture says. And this is what God says. And think about this. I can change my mind any moment because I'm a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body and I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. One more night with the frogs, Pharaoh. One more night with the frogs. That's always a strange one to me.
When do you want me to get them to leave? Tomorrow.
Some people like sleeping with frogs. I wish I'd have brought my little thing out here. Some people are not complete without their devil. They got to have that because you know what? They'd rather live a puffed up life and angry and mad and uncomfortable and self-willed than to have the joy of the Lord and the strength of God. Amen. Quit blaming the wrong people.
Say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Say, it's me, O Lord. It's me. It's me. Because number one, you think about this now. When God is wanting to move a train forward, everybody say a train. He wants everybody on board. And he wants that thing to move without somebody standing behind the caboose holding on to the back gate with their feet stuck down against the tracks thinking that they can hold the train back. You're going to beat your own feet off and get bruised yourself in the long run. Because listen, God in heaven wants us to be teachable so that we can go with the flow of the Spirit of God. Amen. Somebody say, be teachable. Be teachable. This is what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7. He talks about those that are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. Did you hear that? So you think just a moment, we live in a world that's so crammed with religious information. As we've said so many times, man, you can go anywhere online and get any kind of Bible you want. I just recommend you just get one and believe it and read it and do what it says. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because number one, the books and the tapes and the seminars and the great churches and everything that God is doing. You know, it's like, you know, some people are like, we used to call them tapeworms. We don't have tapes anymore. But we got books. I guess we call them bookworms. But ever learning, ever learning. Just think, God, number one, wants you to follow the simple truth, just simple truth. Somebody say simple truth. And we want big revelations, and we think revelations are going to do something. You know, God's saying to us, he said, no. He said, you know, get out of the elementary beggarly things and come over into maturity and learn to move forward in authority that I've given to you and just follow the simple instruction of the word. Somebody say, follow the instruction. Follow the instruction of the word. And so a person with an unteachable spirit, you think about it, because knowledge alone is not any good. Knowledge applied means everything. And he says, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Think about that just for a minute, because number one, when he talks about the word knowledge, one of the words there in the Greek is epignosis. It means like just flip the light on and you see it and you understand it. But it's more than that. It's having an intimate relationship with truth. An intimate relationship with truth. How do I know? You know, because here we are as people. You know, we're always saying, you know, praise God, I got a relationship with God. All right, that tells me that you have a knowledge of the truth. Somebody say, I have a knowledge of the truth. That says that I have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Well, if I have an intimate relationship with Jesus, that means he and I are going to be on the same page, walk on the same page. I'm going to be obedient to him. That's the reason he says right here when you read that scripture, listen to what he says. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion, because an unteachable spirit is in rebellion against knowledge. Oh my God, can I say that again? I said an unteachable spirit is in rebellion against knowledge. Can I put it this way? An unteachable spirit is in rebellion against Jesus, the truth. Amen. Listen to what he said. Any trace of rebellion, as soon as you choose, complete obedience. Complete obedience. Complete obedience. So what does that mean? Does that mean I can halfway obey God? Yes. How many have halfway obeyed God before? Amen. Did part of it. Instead, we're just like kids. Come on, somebody. Don't look at me like that. It takes longer to get done. Because kids are the same way. Did you take out the trash? Yes. Did you get the trash in the other room? No. Didn't I tell you to take out the trash? Yes, but I thought you were talking about that trash. No. Then God says get rid of the trash. He means get it all. I mean, think about this. If you ask your kid to go take out the trash, would you expect them to take it all out? If you wanted them to wash your car, when you come out and said, oh my God, it looks good, and walk around to the other side, it wasn't clean. Somebody said it's a halfway job. Amen. It's like going to the car wash and them spraying stuff on two tires and not spraying anything on the other. It's like going to Hardee's and ordering the food and ordering apple pies and get home, you find out you didn't get the apple pies. Hint. Look at somebody say, God, I hate halfway jobs. God does too. He doesn't like people to be halfway Christian. You don't like it. What makes you think he does? Amen. Somebody say, it's simple. It's simple. So he wants us to obey the whole thing. Somebody say, the whole thing. Who does he say? Complete obedience. Complete obedience. Somebody say, complete obedience. Complete obedience. Amen. Amen. Because we don't like giving instruction to someone to have them do the opposite. If we weren't online, I could really talk about some things. About building the building and just different things. You know, how many of you have tried to hire somebody to come and do something? Enough said. See, the inability to be teachable is one of your greatest enemies. Amen? See, it's like, you know, it's like I remember one time my dad told me, he drove a truck, and he told me, he said, see all that garbage down the woods, son? I said, yes, Dad. He said, I want you to get rid of it. Get it up, get rid of it. You know, get it away from here. We're going to carry it away. And so it's like rusty tin cans. Some cans weren't rusty. Milk jugs. Just all this stuff was back. This was back in the 1960s. And so I was probably around 12 years old or something like that. My dad, he came home. You know, so here I am, man. I'm down there working. I work like a dog, man. Well, I thought it was like a dog. It's down there barking. You know how you get to barking? I hate this. I can't stand this. I just wished I hadn't. That's barking. Somebody say, that's barking. Man, if he just knew, why ain't he down here doing this? If he just blah, 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 blah. Come on. Yeah, I got you. See, I know. So my dad came home and said, did you take it all away? But see, what I did is I went down and I said, all these leaves were down there. And I got the bright idea. I said, shoot, just cover it up. My dad's like a hound, man. I mean, it's like he pulls in the driveway, it's like, like radar. Anytime that he says, boy, you know you're in trouble. As long as he said, Davy, you're okay. But when he said, boy, it's like, uh-oh. He said, you get that trash up? I said, yep. He said, well, what is that down there sticking up out of those leaves? And then he went and got Dr. Dogwood. Amen. See, but that's the thing about it. Sometimes God wants us to obey. He didn't want us to hide anything, cover anything up. He wants to get right down to the nasty old truth. Amen. When he tells you to get rid of something, he means what he's talking about. Somebody say amen. If God tells you not to lie, if he tells you not to fornicate, if he tells you not to commit adultery, if he tells you not to steal, if he tells you that, then he means what he said. Amen. If you murder somebody, he knows it. Am I my brother's keeper? I've got the right to kill him if I want to. I mean, think about that for a few minutes. Dear God. I'm sitting there, man, this Doug Cain was a bad dude. I mean, you really. Look at somebody say, jealousy is as cruel as a grave. But see, having an unteachable spirit is one of the things that God dislikes with great dislike, because he knows it'll get you in trouble, and he knows, number one, it's a character flaw. It's a character flaw. Because he knows you'll blame somebody else, try to blame this, try to blame that. Well, you know, I was too tired. I didn't have enough energy. I didn't have enough this. I thought that would be good enough. I didn't think you'd care. Man, don't you just love these people? You take them out. It's like my dad was telling me. And I'm like, I think about that every time that I try to get somebody to do right and they do it like half-hearted or don't do the job like you want it. It's like a guy comes and says, look, I want you to use stainless steel screws in this because I do not want them to rust. And then these jokers will come out and use old steel screws and you won't know it because they go out of sight a little bit. And then a few years later, rust is running out the hole where they screwed them in. You know what I'm saying? And then it's when your nerve comes out and your eye starts twitching and your vein pops out right here. Now, how many understand what I'm talking about? Amen. And see, stuff like that is grieving to the Holy Spirit. God wants us to have a teachable spirit. Somebody say, a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. Amen. And so what we want to do is we want to sit and learn and value everything that God has given to us. Amen. Say, I prize it highly. I prize it highly. Amen. Say, let no man take your crown. Don't let anybody get your joy. Don't let anybody have it. And listen to this. Having that intimate relationship with the truth, with Jesus, with the Word, doing what the Word says and following that instruction. There's a lot to that because, number one, it honors God, brings glory to His name, and people understand that you're like Him. You have an excellent spirit and you expect excellence. Amen. How many have ever said this before? I'll never get them to do anything else. Yeah, I see y'all going like this right here. I'll never, ever get them to do anything else. It's because we don't like that kind of a mentality. Amen? Amen. Amen. Second, everybody say number two. Having what I refer to as a dwarfed mentality. Everybody say a dwarfed mentality. Thinking small. God's not a small thinker, even though he's into details. Because if we don't get foundations right, the building will crumble. Same thing with our life. If we don't allow the Holy Ghost to put his finger on us and eternally deal with a thing that causes us to get in that cycle of defeat, and every time we come up to it, it's staring us right in the face, and then we're up here and all of a sudden we find ourselves back down here. Now, some people would, manic depressive, bipolar. There's 10,000 things that people put, that label those things with. But I can tell you something. Jesus can heal that and he can deliver us from it. Amen. Number one, if I have a dwarfed mentality, then I'm going to see God as small and not as an awesome being or individual. One that's holy, one that's fearsome, one that's just awe-striking. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I fear and tremble in the presence of God. And so I want to think big, because if I think like God, God thinks about, let's speak worlds into existence. Man, let's create things. Let's do this. Let's do the undoable. Let's think the unthinkable. Let's go for it. Let's do the impossibilities, because that's the way that God is. We talked about this Sunday before. I think we were talking about, when they went into the promised land and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. That was a dwarfed mentality. Amen. Look at the person beside him and say, you're made to do great things. And look at him again and say, look at me. You're the only one that can stop it. You are the only one that can stop it. Nobody else can stop it. Amen. Number one, I'm going to have to find out how God thinks in this book. And I have to get my mind soaked in that. Because it's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. It's about how he does things. He has promised me that if I walk in obedience and do what he tells me to do, that I will eat the good of the land. And so if I, listen, My Lord Jesus knows. I mean, tonight, listen, if I could fast enough to get it, I'd do it. If I could pray enough to get it, I would do it. If I could sacrifice enough to get it, I'd sacrifice. Whatever that it takes, but I got enough sense to know that it's the willing and the obedient that eat the good of the Lamb. Why are you wanting God to give you another prophetic word when you hadn't done the first one? Amen. Listen, Joshua was with Moses until Moses passed off the scene. And then Joshua inherited a headache. Oh, y'all didn't get that one. Joshua inherited a headache. Amen. Oh, my daddy passed this business down to me. Glory to God. Then you got, you know, so-and-so wants to see you, and so-and-so's on the phone, and so-and-so's got, you know, it's like, hello, hello. Well, I just don't want to talk to you either. Forget it. Amen. What's the first thing you pray for when something like that happens? God, give me the wisdom to know how to do this. Amen. So that I won't die trying. Amen. And so it's like, you know, it's like we say, you know, bless God, I'm going to die trying. Well, we may die trying, but it's better to find out what God said about it and what he thinks about it. Amen. And so it's so important to follow that simple, simple thing. God is a big, big thinker. Amen? He's a big thinker. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that God in heaven is sitting up wringing his hands tonight over America or China or Russia or North Korea or any? No. You think he's broke out in a sweat and up there chewing on his fingernails, you know, because of the election? No. We might be, but he's not. Amen. You know, one reason is because he could wait 10,000 years and everybody would be dead. He would figure, you know, whatever. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. God, oh, my goodness. The Lord worked me over about some of this stuff, you know, when I was just seeking the face of the Lord. God says, you know I love the China, don't you? He said, you know that I love North Korea. You know that I love all the nations of the earth. I love them all, praise God. He said, do you believe that I'm able to save the rulers? Do you believe I'm able to save your president? Do you believe, you know, I don't like that term. I mean, come just being serious with you. Come on. God speaks different than we do. Because he was talking to me. See, I believe in thinking big too. But then the Lord like, okay, if you're going to think like I'm thinking, then think I can do anything. Because if you'll think that way, we can get something done. Praise God. Amen. And so here, I have to be careful not to allow the world around me or my circumstances or people, you know, or situations to give me a dwarfed mentality. Because number one, I understand that when they went into the wilderness, everybody say into the wilderness. When they went into the wilderness, that was the long route. Amen. When they failed to go in, when they did that stuff, their thinking is what messed them up. And we do not want our thinking to mess us up. Somebody say amen. Amen. So one of the things that we have to do is change our mentality, lift our mentality. Amen. Lift the way that we live, lift the way that we think up to according to God's standards. Somebody say God's standards. God's standards. And so that is very, very important. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, listen to what the word says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why does God tell us that? Study. Everybody say study. You see, now listen to me. This is what dwarfed mentality does. See, the dwarfed mentality says, I'm going to cover that trash up with leaves. But the mind of Christ would be, just get rid of it. You'll never have to deal with it again. But the dwarfed mentality said, let's take the easy route. The easy route's not always the right route. As a matter of fact, I would say 99.9% of the time, it's not the right route. Amen? How many have ever done something and had to go redo it? As pastor, this is what I hate worse than anything in the world. That's good enough. That's good enough. Oh, that's good enough. That'll work, praise God. Just like, you know, even if it's behind sheetrock. Amen.
I can't see it. Praise God. We'll never see that again. But you know, I know it's back there and I can sleep at night and it's haunting me. Just do it right. Amen. See, we may have on clothes, may have on a suit, but you know, inside what's going on? We got dead men's bones in us, or you know, what's happening on the inside? If we could go back and ask Cain how he felt after he received judgment and after he murdered his brother, he probably would have changed his mind because of the way things went. But he thought that he could get by with it. Amen? And so it's important not to cover up. It's important to get washed. It's important to get delivered. It's important God, whatever it takes for me to get rid of this, let's do it. Amen. I was telling people, you know, I had a dentist appointment at 3 o'clock today and went down to the dentist. And, Lord, I just wish I hadn't even said this now. But anyhow, might as well go ahead with it. But anyway, they were making a mold of my cap broke back here where I had a root canal done back in the 70s, and it broke. And so they were down there and they're making a new cap. And so they were making the mold, you know, the mold. They had to do that like 4 times. And the thing about it is I knew they were putting it in wrong. It was, you know, how it was kind of curved. They wanted to do this circle. And they were trying to put it on straight. And I was sitting there going, And this is what he said. He said, man, I'm going to tell you what, if everybody was like you, praise. He said, if everybody was like you, it would be awesome. I'm sitting there thinking, if you only knew what was going through my mind. Because I was like, my hands were down by my sides. I was going, I felt like Frankenstein coming to life. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting there thinking to myself, my God, Jesus, if he has to do one more, I don't think I can do it. I'm serious. Like on it. And then on the last time, I felt it when it slid in perfect. And I was like, he said, man, that went, there it is right there. I went, that's it. That's it right there. And he said, let's just leave it in there about 4 minutes. I said, by all means, don't take it out early. It's not hurting right now, but those other 3 you did about kill me. And I'm like, it's not rocket science. I mean, you know, your teeth are, you know, your mouth is shaped like this, not like this. And how many knows you can't put a curve thing on something straight? Amen. I thought I might need braces, but please, you know what I'm saying? But I was telling somebody up and said, he put this cap in, and you know, any ground, trying to get the fit. And now it's got this one side, it feels like a shark tooth. It feels like something about this high. I said, man, could I eat a steak now? I said, I could just cut that rascal right in half. But I was just thinking, you know, because Deborah and I were talking about this and getting to the point. And we were talking about teeth. And she said, and I had been praying, said, oh, God, grow me a tooth. And she said, this morning, just out of the blue, said, God's not going to grow no tooth. Of course, he's done it before, you know, a miracle. And I'm sitting there thinking, I never said a word. I just like, and of course, she's listening now, but and she'll say something when I get home. 1 Corinthians 11:28, therefore, let a man examine himself. And so I'm like, you know, hey. But I have to change my mentality. I have to think like God. And this is so cool. And listen to this, because number one, the moment that I begin to think about God, everything changes. God shows up at an empty, chaotic void. And he looks at it, and the devil has been there before and just ripped it all apart, burned it down. I mean, man, it shambles. I mean, there's nothing. It's formless. It's a waste. Somebody says it's a wasteland. But God stands up and speaks to it. Somebody say he speaks to it. And he says, let there be light. And then he creates everything. And the thing about it is like, you think about what God does, because when he's not intimidated by what it looks like, because he's 100% like, it's going to change when I talk to it. That's the reason he said Ezekiel prophesied to the bones. And when you go through scripture, you see Abraham doing that. You see David do it. You see all these guys in the Bible following that same instruction from God. And so God's telling us tonight, he said, look, in order for you to change yourself, he said, you just probably need to go stand in front of the mirror and point your finger at that guy that's looking back and just say, you're the problem, dude. Amen. Get some anointing oil and anoint him. Say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the baddest of them all?
Amen. Anoint the guy in the mirror. Say, you're the one, you're the problem. You are the problem. And then start prophesying to yourself. Amen. Start talking to your mind. Talk to your soul. Talk to your spirit. And start commanding it to line up with the word of God. Somebody say amen. That's exactly what the scripture tells us to do. You're not going to tear down anything until you start talking like God talks to it. Amen. The moment that Diablos comes and tries to bring a divisive thing into your mind to divide you from being whatever, wherever God wants you to be or being like him, whatever he tries to divide you between you and God, you speak to that right then. Don't wait. Don't let it build. Don't let it become a stronghold. Say, devil, I take authority over that thought in the name of Jesus because that is not my God. Amen. Sickness and disease or whatever that it might be. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Talk to it in the name of the Lord Jesus and say, I'm not going to put up with that. Amen. The moment that you feel a twinge in your body, you say, devil, I ain't taking it. Devil, I will not put up with that. You get your hand off me in Jesus' name. Get away from me. Remember what Jesus? He didn't wait. Somebody say, he didn't wait. He didn't wait. In every instance that Jesus addressed the devil, he did it instantly. Instantly. In the wilderness, instantly. When Peter said, you ain't going to the cross. He said, get behind me, Satan. Amen. Instantly. Somebody say instantly. He didn't say, oh, Peter, did I hurt your feelings? He meant to scorch his hide. Amen. Because he wanted Peter to learn. Peter, you do not do that. Amen. So there's a lot more other stuff in here. But we want to get rid of those obstacles. Get rid of those things. The divisive things that Satan uses to separate us. And we ministered on this a couple Sundays ago. We talked about casting down the strongholds, demolishing the strongholds. It was on a little different order than this right here, than this teaching tonight. But an unteachable spirit will stop you cold in your tracks. It'll cause you to regress. It'll cause you to go back. And when you give up ground, I don't know whether any of you have ever done it before, but my friend, I can tell you, I've relaxed my grip on a few things before, and it took me 7 times harder to get it back. Don't let it go. Somebody say, don't let it go. Don't let it go. And I like this, like the Spirit of God spoke to me, you know, a couple of weeks ago there on a Sunday, you know, I came out here, God said, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. I heard a guy on the news today says, don't take the bait. On one of the Christian channels, I said, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Don't take the bait. Somebody say, I'm not taking the bait. I'm not taking the bait. So number one, we go right all the way back to the top tonight. Let's stand together. What do we start out with? Our identity. I am a reborn spirit. I have a soul. I have emotions. The old nature is still around, trying to hang around, calling from the grave. Amen. Calling from the grave. The old flesh is always wanting you to go out and dig him up because he wants to come back. You need to keep the dirt deep on top of him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you think you got dirt on somebody, it's the old man. Not your husband. Amen. It's not your daddy. But that old man, the old you before you came to Christ. Amen. And change that mentality. You can do this. You can walk in absolute freedom. You can walk in absolute joy. You can walk in absolute peace. You can walk in those things that Jesus said. It's in him. Somebody say in him. In him. In him. Amen. So, Father, I thank you tonight for the word. Lord Jesus, I thank you that it's in you that we do live. We move. We have our being. It's in you that we've been redeemed. It's by your precious blood. You have changed our lives. You have rewritten the law, Father God, in our hearts and given us the law of life. I thank you right now. And I ask you, Lord, tonight to come, Father God, and help us. Lord, I take authority over those divisive things that the enemy has released against people that are present. Devil, I bind you because, number one, I see you. I recognize you and I take authority over you that's been given to me through Jesus Christ, and I bind your power and I break it from every life in Jesus' name. And I say, get out of their presence. Father, right now, I speak, Father God, Lord, to the new nature, and I speak, Father God, to your purpose within us, Father God. And I say, rise up in the name of the Lord. And Father God in heaven, we just thank you for your peace. Lord, I thank you that we learn to be content in whatever state that we are in. I thank you tonight, God in heaven, that you are for us and not against us, Father God. And Lord, we just say tonight right now, thank you, God, that Lord, we repent. And Lord, when we repent, we are refreshed in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask you tonight, let healing flow. Let strength come. Let peace come in the name of Jesus. And we honor you and praise you tonight for all that you do. Father, we don't want to hide anything. We don't want to cover it up. Father God, we want to get rid of the stuff, the garbage, God, and just take it to the dump and dump it. Lord, we thank you tonight, right now, Lord, for your cleanness, your righteousness, and your truth in our hearts and in our lives. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen, amen. Amen, amen. If you want prayer tonight, we'd be glad to pray for you before you go. And if you have any kind of a need, we'll agree together with you over that. We ask you to...
Praise the Lord. Pastor David Coleman here. I want to give you an invitation to come and be with us May 6th and 7th. We're going to have Tommy Bates from Independence, Kentucky. You do not want to miss these services. God is going to pour out his spirit in a powerful and a marvelous way. We're looking for the Lord to show up, bring healing to the sick, deliverance to the captives, baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. There is no telling what the Spirit of the Lord is going to do. May 6th and 7th at 7 p.m. Harvest Worship Center, Patrick Springs, Virginia, or Stuart, Virginia, either one. Both of them will show up on your GPS. We just want you to know there's a seat here for you, but you better get here early because this place is going to pack out. We're going to have a great time as we worship the Lord together and as the preaching of the word goes forth. So come on and out, May 6th and 7th, 7 p.m., Tommy Bates, Independence, Kentucky. Do not miss these services. That's, again, Harvest Worship Center, 21-225 Jeb Stuart Highway, Stuart, Virginia. Come on and be with us. Our phone number is 276-694-4639. Come on out and be blessed in Jesus' name.